about you. I want to share with you something that I genuinely think will transform your life and your business, to be honest. HDX is open from now until May 17 with a few special bonuses. Join before May 11 and get my 8-week Purpose and Abundance course completely free, which is $888 worth of value. And if you join before May 17, we're actually going to give you $999 off our upcoming Mexico retreat. I mean, how good a freaking deal is that? And if you join before May 17, then you'll be in time for two amazing bonus classes this month in HDX with my personal business consultant, Nikki Rowley. Now, this is the woman that has helped scale my business significantly in the last year or so. And I am sharing her with my HDX community. She'll be teaching on how to grow and scale for business and what strategies and structures will actually get you there. She will also host a bonus business Q&A, which means you can actually ask my consultant anything you want to ask her about growing and scaling your business. This is an opportunity that could transform your life and your business, so don't miss out. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Human Design Podcast with me, your host, Emma Dunwoody. I'm a qualified master coach and human behavior specialist, as well as being a qualified human design coach. And I work with clients every single day to answer the big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And what is my purpose? I also assist them to transition from the person they think they should be to the person they really are on the inside. I teach people how to actually live their design instead of just knowing it. And if this is something that you want to do too, well, stay tuned or reach out for private coaching or Human Design Unpacks, where I show you exactly how to live your design. Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. Now, today I have a very, very special guest. He is one of my private clients. He's also the husband of a dear friend of mine. And we have had the most incredible journey together, not only because he has had some incredible results, but because he shares a very close journey with me. Many years ago, as you guys know, I was diagnosed with depression and panic disorder, and that was a catalyst for me to really change my life. And this beautiful human that you're about to hear from has had a really similar journey to me, and I think it's so important for you guys to hear his story. Now, before we get into that, one of the things I want you to know is that this is the kicking off mindset month, probably mindset 2 months in my membership. So this is perfect timing to be talking to Dave, because what I want you guys to really know is that human design is incredible, incredible. However, if we do not master the supercomputer between our ears and understand that there is nothing more important than our self-worth, then our human design will not serve us. It will not serve us to the capacity it can serve us. So really understanding how we really master that supercomputer is so, so important. So this month in the membership, for all of my members out there listening to this podcast, we are going to be learning about shadow, inner child, defining moments, and so, so much more. If you are not a member and you want to become a member, go to the links in the show notes and you can find out more there. Okay, I don't think I need to share anything else with you right now, so I'm going to introduce you to the amazing Dave Rowan. Hi, Dave.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Emma. How are you?
Yep, I'm brilliant. I'm brilliant. Now, for all of you out there, the human design junkies, we need to know, right? Dave is a generator with sacral authority and a 4-6 profile. So Dave, tell us a little bit about you. Who are you?
Wow. Okay. I'm Dave Rowan. I live in the United States in Pennsylvania. I'm a dad, 2 kids, married to a wonderful wife, and grew up in a household that we didn't express a lot of emotion. I think that is a lot to do with what's going on or has been going on with me. I got a technical degree in chemical engineering and spent 25 years in a corporate career, basically sprinting from meeting to meeting and family commitment to family commitment. And there was really no time to, I'll use your words, master the supercomputer between my ears. And so while I mastered lots of technical stuff and got lots of praise for doing so from various folks, the inside of me was falling apart. When my kids left for college, and a couple of other things happened simultaneously with that, I ended up checking myself into a mental hospital because I was suffering from such severe anxiety and depression and was suicidal. And that wasn't good enough. I actually needed to go back two more times over the span of 4 years, the most recent of which was last year. And I was trying all of the traditional stuff, medications and therapists, and kind of the standard playbook that everybody most folks anyway adhere to, and it just wasn't working. And so I knew Emma through my wife and started working with her and have had some just mind-blowing results in the interim.
Yeah, and which is so freaking exciting, and we're going to get to. But the piece I want to dive in first is that one of the things that I really resonate with your story, with my story, and with the people I work with and the people who reach out is that you had, not only did you have a pretty ordinary, for the want of a better word, upbringing, and you had, as an adult, you've had a very, inverted commas, successful life. So there's this, it's really blowing up that myth that things like severe depression and anxiety come from severe trauma. Like for you, there wasn't necessarily a severe trauma that got you there, was there?
No, and it's funny you bring that up. My wife and I just watched a documentary of Audrey Hepburn, who on the movie screen was incredibly happy, and she was, dancing with movie stars and always smiling. And in the background, she suffered quite a bit from anxiety and depression. And so, it's we all look at everybody's social media postings and, do the whole compare and despair thing. And we're comparing our insides to their outsides. And that's it. My outsides were extremely successful. And actually it was a real source of, stress for me of, why is this happening to me? I have a wonderful wife. I have a wonderful kids. I have a wonderful job. We have plenty of money. So it wasn't until I was able to deconstruct a lot of that with you and put some very simple tools in place first as a foundation and then build with some very complex things going forward that I've been able to really get to the bottom of that and start to master that supercomputer.
Yeah. And I think that's the piece. I love this, everything seemed perfect on the outside, and it was actually those simple pieces that were the catalyst. The other thing that I just want to touch on is, as you said, you tried a number of different things before we started working together, didn't you? And it wasn't just the traditional stuff. You tried a lot of things.
I was all over the place. I tried medications. I tried therapists. I tried studying Buddhism. I tried shamanic journeys. I tried a shamanic healing circle. I did yoga. I meditated. And again, lots of those things are very good. But, it wasn't until I understood how I was supposed to make decisions and also why I reacted to certain situations like I did based on my design. And that's one of the things that I love about working with you is it's not just human design as a modality, but there's like 10 other ones that we touch on. And when you put that together, it's finally like the light bulb starts to flicker on of, oh, this is how this really works. Not the surface stuff of just basically putting band-aids on the problem.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And I mean, I know we've done a lot of work and we've gone a lot of places, but do you remember what the first thing, what one of the first principles that you were taught? Like, just tell me a few of the first things that come to mind.
That I have to take responsibility.
That's it.
What am I going to do differently so that I don't have to keep putting up with these same terrible results? And, you know, one of the things that's very simple that you do, which is powerful, that's not done, in, at least with the therapists I've worked with in the past, is, you know, I have to show up to every call with an agenda. Like, what am I going to talk about? We're not just going to wander around for half an hour hoping we stumble on something that's meaningful. So, you know, having that discipline right up front, I have daily exercises that I do, which are tremendous. And so, I mean, that's definitely what am I going to do different is huge.
And I'm so glad you said that. And you're so my star pupil. I freaking love it, because I think that this is the absolute piece that everybody misses, you know, because when you were sitting in a shamanic healing circle, you were waiting for somebody else to heal you. You were waiting for something else to heal you.
Yes.
It's exactly the same as what I was doing. It's exactly the same as what so many people out there are doing. And the number one thing, the absolute start line in life, is taking responsibility. And I fully get that, like, I still remember that moment of realizing, oh my goodness, I created all of this. And then moments later going, oh my goodness, I created all of this. You know, that realization that actually I do have the power and I can take the power back. How did that feel? Do you remember how that felt when you first realized, okay, this is within my power and, okay, I have to take responsibility for my results?
So admittedly, first, it was scary.
Yeah.
Because it's like there's nobody standing on the ship with a life preserver. It's just how it works. It is genuinely in my hands.
Yeah. And it's that saying, you know, that beautiful saying that no one's coming to save you. You know, no one's coming to save you. You are. You're your savior. You're your rescuer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, you know, eventually it gets to a point of feeling very powerful, especially once these things start to work. And, you know, I would love to tell you that it's just been this, you know, yellow brick road, beautiful straight line upward, and each day is better than the last. It's not that way. You know, in fact, it's funny, the things that you can remember and agree with when they are applied to another person, but not when it's yourself. I remember my sister, we had just had our kids, we have twin girls, and we had just had our kids. And I said to her, you know, do you have a piece of advice for me as a new parent? And she said, yeah, the best thing you can realize is that your kids are going to be taking two steps forward and then one step back, two steps forward and one step back. And you think you're through a phase and you're not. And if it's your first child, that's really frustrating. But if you realize that's just the way it is with human development, you accept it. And I was like, oh, that's great. And I applied that to my girls. But when it was myself, and I would wake up in the morning feeling horrible and depressed and not want to get out of bed, and, you know, I would double down on that feeling and just stew on the disappointment of that. And again, I'll just say, you know, and another one of the simple things that we did right away together in our work is a few simple tools to shift your mindset from a negatively biased mindset to a positively biased mindset. And I'm still doing those daily tools, you know, 5 months in here. So very powerful.
Yeah. And this is, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. And you're absolutely freaking nailed it. You know, being human isn't linear. You know, we talk in human design, being a manifesting generator, I'm a non-linear person, but no one's linear. Like, the human evolution is not meant to be that way. It is expansion and then contraction, because there's an integration process. You know, I say to all my clients, and I'm pretty sure I would have said it to you in the beginning, with the six-month program, I used to always only run the six-month program, and now I have a three-month program as well. But with the six-month program, it was all the years of working with clients, knowing that you're going to smash it in the first 3 months, but then you're going to hit a freaking wall. And that's the important part, when you hit the wall, that you've still got the support. And one of the things I remember for you is that every time you hit the wall in the beginning, you'd be like giving your power away. And I'd just be going, hang on a second, how about all those results you've already achieved? You did this. You've taken the actions. You've got the results. Because, you know, you'd learnt such a habit of giving your power away that there was part of you, and I don't think you ever directly said it, but there was part of you that when you were in a low or a more challenging place, you'd be kind of like either you'd feel like you'd let me down, or that it's something that I had to give you the wisdom, and I'd be like, no, I don't need to give you shit. You have it. You've already created the results. You just need to be your best friend.
Yeah, it's very true. And, you know, I think that some of the things that you as you transition through various phases of life, you know, there's that sense of loss that you have. And for me, a big part of it was seeing my kids leave from home, and then coupling that with deciding to leave my corporate job because it was just so stressful. And so I had this vast expanse of emptiness that I managed to fill with depression and anxiety, because that's all I knew to do. Yeah. When all of those deadlines and dates and meetings and calls and emails and everything else weren't there, filling that space, you know, and I'll tell you, I used 20 years of my corporate career to hide from myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was nowhere to hide at that point. Mm.
And that, thank you so much for sharing that. It's so, like, because I just know there's so many people out there that are like, fuck, you too? Oh my God. And one of the things I want to check in with now is these patterns, right? These patterns. So I'm always talking about the patterns of behavior, and we want to find the core of those patterns, and we want to heal that. And one of the things I remember when we first started working together, although it was also a huge low point, it also came after a time where you'd started to go, okay, I'm going to start to trust myself and go into my own business and do my own thing. And it was that moving from a place of leaving corporate where someone else effectively believed in you, and you were like, yeah, shit, I can get all these runs on the board for you. Like, I can smash it out of the park. But when it came time for you to back you, this seemed to be quite a catalyst of the depression and the anxiety. Fair to say?
It is, you know, and again, that's it. I think that it goes back to the earlier point of taking full responsibility. And I don't think I was ready to take full responsibility for my results, for my results as an entrepreneur, or my results from a behavioral health standpoint. And that's it. I was looking for somebody else to provide that structure. And, you know, I look, we all have that, well, not everybody, unfortunately, but I had a childhood that was really great. And, you know, the most difficult decision I needed to make on a daily basis was what kind of cereal mom was going to buy me at the grocery store. And everything else was just taken care of. And so when you grow up, and I was the youngest child also. And so, you know, when you grow up in that kind of a setting and don't have to blaze any trails for yourself, really. If all I had to do was get good grades in school and get the credit there, I could do, life was good.
Yeah. But this is stuff. Yeah, exactly. But this is the important piece. What I love about that, and again, it's so important that people hear that you can still experience these things even if you don't have an inverted commas traumatic childhood. This piece, and this is what fascinated me. And as a behavioralist, this always fascinates me because, true, you weren't taking responsibility. And even now, I love in this moment, you're taking full responsibility for the actions that you didn't take. But the thing that was really important to understand here was that when we noticed this pattern, you know, that kept showing up, I was super curious, like, well, why don't you trust yourself? So we did, and I don't even know that you realize the name of the model that we used, but we used a model a couple of times called a defining moments model. Now, what that means is that we went back to little Dave and we went back to those moments, those defining moments in your childhood where you learnt in a matter of seconds to distrust yourself. And in that moment, that actually created the identity that came to play when you became an entrepreneur, because what was actually blocking you was little Dave on the bus. Oh my goodness, I can't trust myself. I have to be alert. And little Dave with the fishing hook that decided that, oh my goodness, I have to be on all the time. I have to be alert. And it's, I can't trust. And it was those moments that were actually stopping you fully stepping into your potential. Do you remember that?
I do. I mean, just to put a little more detail on those stories very quickly, you know, in my early years of school, I was in a school that had first through eighth graders. And when you're a first grader, an eighth grade boy is a scary giant, literally.
Yeah.
They're massive.
Yeah.
Has changed. They're big, they're strong, they're fast. And I remember it was like my first week on the playground and one of the eighth graders, and, you know, he probably didn't even actually have it in his hand, but he convinced me that he had a fishing hook and started chasing me around the playground with a fishing hook until I could hide behind one of the playground supervisors and, you know, be safe from him. And so I got to be really vigilant on that playground in a hurry as a first grader. And then in second grade, when I was on the bus and I actually fell asleep and slept through my stop, probably because I was drinking too much soda and eating too much sugar. That's a whole other topic of discussion.
Sugar low. Yep.
Right. Yeah. You know, I fell asleep on the bus. I woke up a few blocks later. I, you know, stood up and said, "Bus driver, can you please turn around and take me back to my stop?" And she said, "No, you know, just can't do that. Got to keep going, but I can let you out here. And you know what? The walk will do you good." And as I marched from the back of the bus to the front of the entire bus started chanting, "The walk will do you good." And it was really, it seems like nothing as an adult. It's like, if that happened to me as an adult, I would probably would have chanted with them at this point. It would be funny. But as a second grader that was looking to, you know, to be part of the group, I was ashamed.
Yeah.
And so the part of the technique that was very powerful for me was you told me to basically replay those things as if they were on a movie screen, but have adult Dave there along with little Dave and give little Dave exactly what he needed to deal with each of those situations. And that was super powerful for me and has really been an important part of my healing journey. And, you know, I can say that one of the things that has been this huge shift for me in the last month is finally getting past my pattern of, oh my gosh, I have to fill all of my time in every single minute. And if I don't fill every single minute, something might go wrong. And if something goes wrong, it's going to be a disaster. And, you know, today I started feeling fear. I didn't know why, but I just sat there with it. and allowed it to flow through me and pass through me. And literally laid every ounce of my guard down on the ground. And within 15 minutes, it was gone. And it was a freaking miracle.
Yeah.
And
I've got freaking goosebumps up and down my arms. I'm feeling it all over. It's so powerful.
It is. And, you know, that technique was from a book that you recommended, Letting Go by Dr. Hawkins. It's a game changer. It's an absolute game changer. But until I was able to go back to those very important scenes from my childhood, and there were others. I mean, in college, you know, I think those two are fine to convey the concept. But until I could lay down my guard emotionally,
yeah,
just say, okay, fear.
Yeah.
Do your thing.
Yeah.
And it's extremely powerful. And really for me, it's been the only way I've been able to genuinely wake up in the morning and feel like, okay, I have a toolbox here that I can actually work with.
Yeah. It's just amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I, as I'm sitting here getting goosebumps, the whole thing, because not only to have you to hear your experience, but it takes me back to my experience where the moment that I realized that fear no longer had power over me was just a massive change for me. And, you know, I want people to understand, the people who are listening, like these defining moments, and Dave, you nailed it. Like as an adult, I don't think they're important. They are hugely important. They defined the adult that you became. And what tends to happen is that we will disregard those experiences, those what we call environmental traumas, like, oh, well, we just need to get over it. Here in Australia, it's always
especially like, as a man. Together. Sorry to interrupt you, but especially as a man.
Yeah.
Just say man up.
Exactly.
That exactly. Is culturally, at least in the States, what we're taught. And I think it's pretty much true all over the world.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but
no, please, please. I'm so glad you did interrupt, and you make a very good point, especially as a man. I was just sharing with you before, in Australia, we've got a terribly high suicide rate amongst young men, and it's because they're never taught to emote, to feel their feelings, to talk about their feelings, to share their feelings. And of course, we have this huge culture of farming in our country as well. So we have these young men out in the middle of nowhere, working their asses off with no ability to actually deal with anything that's going on inside of them. Not to mention the men that live in the cities. It's a massive challenge. And understanding that no matter your gender, these traumatic moments that you have as children are defining who you become as men, and to the point where they will push you. If you can't do that inner work, if you can't honor that part of you, love it and accept it and heal it, and it can be simple. Like Dave said, like these processes, they are not, you know, sitting in meditation for 7 hours and having to sit on a mountain. As you guys might have guessed, I'm a very pragmatic person. I want to make everything as simple as possible. And really understanding what that core belief that was created when you were in that defining moment, when you understand that, you understand that this thing that you've been running from since you were tiny is not true. And it's just something that your brain has created to keep you safe. And once you get to that place, like, oh, okay, it's just to keep me safe. Well, I don't need it anymore. Then you can actually take responsibility, take back your power and do something about it. I love it. Awesome. So, Dave, what I would love you to share is I'd love you to share a little bit about the journey since we've been working together. Because again, I want a lot of transparency. I want people to understand that this isn't about going, just think positive thoughts. Like it's just not about that. You know, it really is this place where, I mean, I'm very big on, and I think every listener understands this now, that our brain has a default setting. It has a default setting of the negativity bias. It wants to be in fight, flight, and freeze because it knows how to take care of you. So it's this journey of having to recondition your reticular activating system in your brain, getting you focused on what you want, addressing your beliefs, meditating. And of course, what I think is that comes very, very close second to responsibility is self-love. So can you talk a little bit about the journey that you've had and the roller coaster you've ridden? Because you've had extraordinary results. And even with extraordinary results, and I will say, listeners, the number one reason, the only reason that Dave has had extraordinary results is because he has taken full responsibility. He's taken the actions even when he doesn't want to. He's stayed accountable. He's done it in the face of fear. And that's why you've had the most extraordinary results. Having said that, I also want you to share the roller coaster of a journey that it is anyway, even with the great results.
Okay. So, I'd say that the journey, one of the things I was most thrilled about is I had concrete stuff to go do after the first call. Whether that was some of the mirror work that's important for self-love, some of the work on writing down gratitudes, one of my favorites is writing down every day how I rocked it in a certain situation. And it never would have occurred to me to do that. And I love that every day, getting to do that. Keeping a jar with wins and insights and learnings everything else good that is happening and seeing that jar quickly fill. And then on the low points, being able to open it up and, pull those notes out to myself and see, most days were better than this one. And you're going to get back to that. And you just have to keep going and keep moving forward. I think that, the other piece of the journey, and I alluded to this earlier, that I think is really powerful is we did a lot of the human design work. And so I could understand why I would process things the way that I do. And, why, for example, I could be overwhelmed emotionally and have no idea where it came from, which is a really scary thing until you realize, that's in my design.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen and it's okay.
Yeah. Undefined solar plexus for those out there.
Yes, exactly. And so that was really important for me to see. Another really important thing for me was, I think, kind of weaning me off of the fill every minute treadmill. And so, but doing it in a very constructive way. So the reading list that you provided, the podcast list that you provided, that were either, very directly tied to reprogramming the supercomputer, to raising your level of conscious, to how to succeed as an entrepreneur, to understanding the biology behind why your body processes things the way that it does, to just something fun that is interesting to read or listen to. And so I think that was a huge piece. I think that, another part of the journey that I love is, when I send my prep work and it's talking about some of the good things that are happening, we celebrate that in a big way right at the start of the call. And so it sets the tone for such a wonderful conversation. Sometimes there's not a lot to celebrate and that's okay. But there's always at least one thing. And so starting the call every time with that is important. In terms of the roller coaster, it's legitimate. And I've started attracting like big opportunities and things into my life that I haven't attracted in the past. And, you know, I remember a Monday where I just had a stacked day, and it fed the old day, the old Dave. I had a stacked day of phone calls and important stuff to do and opportunities and amazingness. And then I woke up on Tuesday and my day wasn't full. And I just slipped back into that pattern of, oh my gosh, I've got to fill it. Otherwise I'm going to start worrying about stuff. And then if I start worrying about stuff, I'm going to be afraid. And I don't like feeling afraid because that's really uncomfortable and unpleasant. And so, you know, it was having not only the toolbox to go back to of all those modalities that I talked about, but also the underpinning of, you're responsible, Dave. Okay. That's point one. Nobody's going to show up beside your bed and, you know, give you a list of 10 things to go do that are going to make you happy. Coupling that with, again, all the tools that we learned and the reassurance from you that this up and down is a very normal part of the process. Mm.
I love it. And so let's say when you started, you were at a really low point. So out of 10, could you score, like, if 0 was, this is awful, I can't go on, and 10 is like, I am living my best life, where would you have been when we started?
2.
Yeah, right. Two, and where would you be?
I can crawl out of bed and, you know, barely function as a human being. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to talk to anybody. I was at a 2.
Yeah. Yeah. And where would you be now?
On average?
5 months later. Yeah, on average.
Yeah, I'd say a 7 or an 8.
Awesome.
It's fabulous. As a scientist, as I said, my degree is in chemical engineering, and I used to supervise a bunch of scientists. And, you know, we would run experiments. And that's what I feel like a lot of this is. And, you know, one of the things, though, that I think is important about human design and is different than a lot of other ways that people try to heal themselves is human design is unique to you.
Yeah.
You know, there's lots of people that they write a book on, you know, 30 ways to entrepreneurial success, or, you know, 20 ways to lose 15 pounds, and it's what worked for them.
But exactly.
With human design, you uncover what works for you. And then when you surround it with the personal accountability and all of these other modalities, it's really powerful.
Yeah. And on that, so one thing I do want, and I don't know how much you can or can't share, but one of the things that's been mind-blowing in such a short period of time, not only your happiness and your mental health and well-being, but it's also been this entrepreneurial explosion, you know, like there's just been all of these, and like you say, like we use the word magic, it's magical, there's miracles happening all the time for you. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? And I will just add very quickly, because the biggest piece and the pattern that I saw coming up over and over and over was this distrust piece. I can't trust myself. I can't trust myself. I can't trust myself. So we did a lot of work around that. And then all of these, the feedback in the last month has just been these things coming in, and like, these are big things that mean like that the universe is giving you the evidence of like, Dave, you really do trust yourself. So on those low days, remember this, you do trust yourself.
Yeah. So, I have 2 businesses, one as a financial advisor and then the second as a real estate developer. And on the financial planning side, for my subscription clients, I have doubled the initial startup fee, and I'm attracting new clients into that subscription program at a rate faster than I have ever before. The real estate side is incredibly interesting. We have been, you know, my partners and I, our passion project is affordable housing. And we are part of a network in Philadelphia that provides affordable housing to over 100 residents. And we have just been approached with huge opportunities to do this for many, many different groups. Transitional housing for recently released inmates from prison. Transitional housing for youth that went all the way through the foster care system without being adopted and now need a place to live. Housing for seniors. Housing, and this is lifetime housing, housing for autistic young adults who have been at home for 25 to 30 years and can be out on their own, but need some support. And actually we also have been approached to build a four-story youth center in West Philadelphia, going back to these young kids who are exiting the foster care system. And just as an aside, you know, I could talk about all of these programs and how wonderful they are. This foster care program in particular, they have a 75% success rate where a year later, these young adults, 18 to 24, are still out on their own, still have a place to live, and are employed. And that is far above the national average for that demographic. So it's just wonderful to see.
Amazing.
And finally, I've been given the honor of being part of the committee that will be deciding where federal aid gets dispersed in our local communities, which is really an honor for me personally to be chosen in that role. So
amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
And you know, the question that I have to ask is, we didn't really focus on your career at all, did we?
No.
No. And this is the piece that I love. This is the piece that makes my heart sing. Because there are so many people out there saying, you have to do this to succeed. You have to be this to succeed. You have to blah, 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 blah. You freaking don't. You need to learn to be in alignment with you, to love and accept yourself. And when you do the work on you, freaking miracles happen, right?
Right, right.
Mm.
And
for
me personally, having the courage to make space in my life to work on me.
Yeah.
Which is not,
yeah.
Again, going back to cultural norms, that is not an accepted cultural norm.
No. And you know, like just for my human design junkies out there, I'm just going to do a little bit of an unpack. Like we're talking about a 4-6, okay? So anyone who has a line 6, you're on the planet to be you, to be authentically you, to learn to love and trust you and learn to be able to go, I see who everyone else is being, but I'm going to choose me instead. Now, this is an important journey for everybody, but the 4-6, like one of the things with that we have, like the picture I'm seeing is the scales, right? The scales we worked on a lot with you, Dave, was that, you know, I would be talking, you're a 4-6, so you've got this personal journey, so it's got to be about you first. However, at no point did I say this is the way it has to be. Those scales had to shift because one of the huge parts of who you are as a person is serving. So it was that being able to go, okay, cool, we just need to find what the right balance is. What is the right balance where you can honor your journey first and serve to the capacity that you have to? Like there was, you know, that came very apparent very quickly that we had to understand that balance so that you could serve to the capacity that your heart wants to be serving, and making sure that we take care of you first, that you're taking care of you first. And it goes back to your earlier point. The beauty of human design is that it gives us this roadmap to really understand what is true for us. you know, we had to understand from your design as well, you've got a defined head and ajna. So you're always going to be someone that has a busy mind. Always, always, always. So we want to make sure.
Which is
that
a problem. Whatever's...
yeah, which is challenging. But it's not a problem if we choose to fill that busy mind with more resourceful things. This is one of the things we talked about, making sure that, all right, accept it. You're a thinker. It's going to be, it's always going to be happening. You know, even your meditation journey, that has become something that is so dear to you, and you've had so many different experiences, and it's not like you just sit in the abyss of nothingness. It's that you go on these journeys that you are disconnected from the thinking mind, and your head and your ajna are actually in a whole nother dimension, it seems, sometimes. Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So it's making sure that we understand from a human design point of view what is correct for you, and then running those experiments, like you said, running those experiments so that you are more in alignment with who you are. I know the self-love journey, it was almost like when we talked about self-love in the beginning, you were like, what now? What's that now? What are we talking about now? And again, I think that this is something that's really common, especially for men, you know, that not only do they not really understand what self-love is because they hear women talk about bubble baths and like, it's a little bit more than bubble baths. And they're never taught to love themselves. And a big part of loving yourself is making sure, especially when you've got a defined head and ajna, that's a blah, blah, blahing all the time, that you are speaking to yourself as your best friend, not your greatest critic. So these pieces, although simple, are super, super powerful, super powerful. Agreed?
Totally agreed.
I mean, I love it.
You know, it's just as by way of the example, and I talked about it a little bit, you know, overcoming negative emotions and just the simplicity of just sitting there with it. Not trying to go, you know, and not that these things are bad, but go to the gym or answer some emails or other distractions.
Yeah.
Really just the simplicity of allowing it to be.
Yeah. And if you think about it, like just energetically, like we're talking about resistance, even if it's a, you know, inverted commas, resourceful resistance by going to the gym or doing something healthy, it's still resistance. And as long as we're resisting something, we're running away from it. If we're running away from it, it has power over us. If it has power over us, we're not taking any responsibility. So it comes back to that piece where, all right, I'm just going to sit in this place that's really uncomfortable. And if I can sit in this place that's really uncomfortable, then it has no power over me anymore. And just because that, you know, and in that moment where it's an emotion, and especially someone who has an undefined solar plexus, learning to just let that emotion move through you and not identify with it is so important. But when we can learn to let go and just sit in uncertainty in that situation, we can learn to sit in uncertainty in any situation. You know, that is the piece that we can allow fear to move through us and take action that serves us at the same time.
You know, building on that, once you learn that skill on a personal basis, then applying that as an entrepreneur and being willing to sit in the uncertainty of, you know, a product launch or a marketing program or hiring your first virtual assistant or whatever the case may be. It enables you to translate and be more open to being in that uncertainty as an entrepreneur as well. And I think that that's part of why these things are now flowing to me is because, you know, we'll talk in terms of the universe. The universe knew I was not ready before.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't done.
She gave you some time and space.
Right. Time and space to work on me.
Yeah.
And get comfortable with uncertainty on a personal basis.
Yeah. And I think this is such an, what you're sharing is the most important point, that success in inverted commas, number one, everyone, I want you to go out there and I want you to redefine success for you, because success is not something other people tell you it is. That's bullshit. But number two, one of the fundamental values of success is the ability to sit in uncertainty, the ability to be uncomfortable when that piece inside of you says, uh-huh, we're going in this direction, this is correct, and your head is going, no, no. The ability to sit in that uncertainty and be like, I've got my guidance, my authority is saying it's a yes. That ability is something that is the fundamental, that and a person's authenticity, I believe, are the two things that create success.
Yeah. And I think that, I was one of these people, of basically kind of being, reaching a point in life where you are frozen in place and just like, this is the bubble that I'm creating for myself and nothing new is going to come in, because of an unwillingness to deal with uncertainty. And, you know, I think that hanging around in a corporate job that I really didn't like for 24 years had a lot to do with that of what this is safe.
Yeah.
I've seen everything there is to see in this company. Nothing can surprise me anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stay right here.
Yep. And you know what the piece that instantly comes up for me? Just like depression. Depression became safe for you because you didn't have to deal with uncertainty. You knew how it felt, how it was to feel depressed. You knew what would happen if you felt depressed. It was like, yeah, sure. Whereas now you have the ability to sit in uncertainty that's like, but miracles happen, but good stuff happens. And I actually have the ability to change stuff. I don't know the answer right now. I don't know where I'm going right now. I don't know. But that's okay. And this is the piece that I think people don't or are not aware of, is that we do depression and anxiety because it keeps us safe. We do it because we know it.
Yeah. And I mean, going back to the human design component, like as a generator, I don't need to know the how. I just need to respond.
Exactly.
When I learned that simple concept, I mean, it was like a burden was lifted off of me. Like, you mean I don't have to figure all this out on my own? I can just wait for the opportunities to come in and respond to the ones that feel good from a sacral response standpoint.
Yeah.
And I'm actually getting better at like recognizing that. And instead of just the head response, the gut response of thinking, you know, that inner knowing of what's right for me and what's not. And it's beautiful. I've been able to walk away from some things that's like, no way. That's I don't want to
do that.
Not because I was scared, but just because it was not resonating.
Yeah. And it's that piece that it says the brain, the mind says, you can't walk away from that. It's too good to be true. And then you go, I can walk away from that because my sacral says it's not right. And sure enough, just around the corner, something even better turns up.
Even better.
Yeah.
And I just dropped that boat anchor overboard.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. So Dave, thank you so much for sharing your story today. And as I said earlier, I believe that there are so many people that are going to be supported by this. I do want every single one of you out there that is wrestling with depression and panic disorder, find help. All right. That's what I want to say. There is no one way to heal yourself. Nothing is right or wrong. You know, I don't advocate for or against medication. Medication wasn't right for me. But I, the number one thing I want you to do is I want you to take responsibility for your results. Okay. I want you to do something about it and get help because this is something that can be healed. Is there anything else you want to share on that, Dave?
That is absolutely spot on. And once you are willing to take responsibility and willing to face things head on, miracles start to happen.
Yeah, beautiful. I'm going to have to leave it on that because it's the best piece. Thank you so much for joining me, Dave. It's just, as I say, it's been such a gift to work with you and to have you here on the podcast. And thanks again.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks everyone for being here all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value out of it. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with friends if you found it valuable? And also, bonus points, could you leave a review for me as well on Apple? It would be greatly appreciated. If at any point you would like to be on the podcast or you've got questions that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, by all means, get on my socials and DM me. Everything you need is there in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Bye for now.